from Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning to you.
Very, very good morning,
Mike. I tell you what, I found yesterday afternoon fascinating, didn't you? 3-all, casting vote, come on.
Absolutely. No, I got back in time for the OCR and Budget Day, of course. I thought I might get the full trifecta and have a US-Iran peace deal overnight. I didn't quite get that. But yeah, let's talk about the RBNZ and the OCR. So the OCR is on hold. That was expected, and it's a hawkish hold. But I could not agree with you more, Mike. My overwhelming impression, though, is that this was a far more interesting outcome than we normally get. Not so much the OCR decision, leaving the rate sort of unchanged at 2.25%, but rather, yeah, this disclosure of the voting and the rationale behind the voting, it just gave us so much more insight, so much more flavour than we've had historically. Oh, that was fantastic. Look, holding the rate at 2.25%, as it turns out, was a very, very close decision. So the Monetary Policy Committee that makes that view was split completely evenly, 3-all. And then, of course, the boss, Governor Bremen, gets the casting vote, so it stayed on hold. But before we sort of unpack that composition of the voting, just note that the published OCR track, you know, the forward track, where they think it will be, did actually validate the market view that the OCR needed to rise. The market was already pricing that in. The RBNZ now have the OCR rising to sort of 3%, really, by the beginning of 2027. The forecast out past that does see a continued small lift in the OCR over the ensuing sort of 12 to 24 months, but given the uncertainty involved, I'm not sure there's a great deal of benefit in sort of focusing on that longer term forecast. Now, this split within the Monetary Policy Committee, Mike, in favour of holding the OCR, the RBNZ staff, the internal people, Bremen, Karen Silk, Paul Conway, lined up in the other corner, let's put the OCR up camp with the external members. So fascinating split between the internal and the external. But Mike, if you read the statement, the split was really around timing.
Yep.
The externals wanted to go now. The internal members were happy to sort of wait a bit, but acknowledging that the rate will have to go higher. It really comes down to a judgment call, Mike, about whether waiting increases the potential for those indirect second-round effects of the increased energy prices taking hold. So things like inflation expectations, wage rising. The externals saying we need to get onto it now. We need to stop those things from picking up. The internals saying, look, we do have room to wait. And I think there's some justification in saying that you would have expected that maybe to have been the other way around, for the externals to be sort of closer out there to the business communities, which didn't really want, you know, which would like to see the rate not going up. So I thought that was absolutely fascinating. The MPS, when you actually read the whole statement, it does give us an insight into the bank's view on the economy. Key takeaway on this, Mike, is the extent to which the Middle East conflict has had a material impact on our economy. We were looking quite promising in Q1, but that's all been hit. Confidence, growth expectations are all markedly lower. And I do think you also have to acknowledge, Mike, how much uncertainty there is around the outcome. We don't really know yet where the oil price will settle over the coming months. You know, how much buying demand will come from rebuilding strategic reserves in the world, how much damage has been done to major infrastructure in the Middle East. The market reaction, Mike, was muted. Going into that, you know, there was a lot of chatter, mainly from the business community, that, you know, they didn't need the hike in the OCR. But as I've said, the market was already pricing it in. So not much shock factor in the outcome. Mortgage rates will start to creep up. Whether the OCR goes up in July or September, the market's saying there's about a 50-50 chance it'll go in July.
Okay.
So what do we get? We got short-dated swaps. They were up sort of 5 to 6 points. That's 1 to 2 years. Longer-dated, 5 years plus, they were unchanged. Big move was the Kiwi, though. Kiwi much stronger. Went from 58.40 to 58.80, maybe a little higher. So fascinating.
Yeah. Super quick on the Australian inflation. Is there a theme here? Japan,
yeah.
UK, Singapore, now Australia, all come in lower than expected. What's that about?
Weird, eh? So what's happened? So we had inflation print in Australia yesterday, lower than expected. CPI for April came in 0.4, market expectation of 0.6, year on year 4.2. They thought it was going to be 4.4. The trimmed mean was that the RBA looks at was more on expectation. Yeah, Mark, Canada, Japan, UK. Yeah. It all looks like these second round effects just aren't happening just yet.
That's what I'm
so
telling
could
you.
It be? Could it be everyone's getting it wrong? We'll have to wait and see.
All right, mate, numbers.
Dow Jones is up 204 points, 0.4%, 50,666. The S&P 500 down small, 7 points, 7511. The NASDAQ, basically it's not changed, 26,657. Overnight, the FTSE 100, small rise, 14 points, 10,505. The Nikkei, 64999, hardly moved. Shanghai Composite, though, lost 1.25%, 4093. The Aussies yesterday gained 60 points on the ASX 200, 8717. That's a 0.69% rise. Had a good day in the NZX yesterday, 1.21% up. 158 points, 13,228. Kiwi dollar, 0.5890 against the US, 0.8255 against the Aussie, 0.5067 euro. We're creeping towards 44 against the pound, 0.4387, yeah, happy days. Against the yen, 93.97. Gold, 4,450. But the big mover overnight, Mike, the oil price.
Plummets.
Who would have thought? It's fallen, gosh, it's 4 or 5%. Yep. $95.06. So maybe there is a deal there.
Love it. Nice to see you, mate. Catch up tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher-Shaw and Partners.